Hello and welcome back to the Calvary Tabernacle Young Adults Podcast. We're so glad you're listening and we hope you continue to do so. This is the third part of our series Unplug and features Brother Bobby Kilman, who examines the quality of worldviews and cultures. Please enjoy.
Okay, this is what I'd like to do. Tonight I'm probably just going to give kind of more of a talk. But I'm going to try. I was debating how to approach this particular lesson, because what we're doing, I appreciate the foresight of Brother Brzezinski and Pastor's message, of course, that inspired this series is important. And I appreciate Brother and Sister Brzezinski for allowing the latitude to make this a kind of a thick teaching session. So I'm just going to kind of talk about some stuff, and I promise this will probably be some of the most controversial stuff I've ever done. So if you ever heard me teach, you're like, oh, Jesus, help us, you know. We're going to talk about unplugging. Now, this is what I wish, Brother Brown, that someone had told me earlier. So some of the stuff I'm going to say tonight is going to be pointed, incredibly controversial, and quote me, please, K-I-L-L-M-O-N, let Calvary Tabernacle and Paul Mooney off the hook, and put me on the hook tonight. Send all the mail to me. That'd be great. Send all the mail to me. That sounds kind of crazy, but I've only had one anonymous bit of mail that was kind of like hate mail response to something. I just put it in the trash can. Because there was no name on it. I don't even read that stuff. If you don't put your name on it, I just put it in the trash can. Hallelujah. So for all of you who want to send me letters, there we go. Come on in. All right. So what I want to talk about tonight is unplugging from, we're talking about the issues that you're facing in the culture and on college campuses. Welcome. And we're going to deal with biblical anthropology. Now, I'm going to give you some quotes tonight. I have some books over here I think are really, really great books in terms of learning some of this topic. So maybe after we're done tonight, if you want to come up and look at them, I think some of these books can equip you to handle some of the issues you're facing in college. And for many of you, you need like a double degree. Because you not only, Madison, I'm thinking of your sister Kate. She came into my office one time and she's like, Brother Kilman, here's my sociology textbook. It's called A Kaleidoscope of Gender. And that was wild, right? And so you will have to read two sets of books. So, you know, you read the prescribed books by the instructor and the books that deal with the lies that are in the other books, to be candid. I told you I was going to be controversial tonight, be a little pointed. And what we have to do is we have to think about, what does it mean? Because Francis Schaeffer said it this way. He says, I'm talking about truth with a capital T. He says, Christianity, what we believe, is not a series of, like, just pushed-together truths. There in fact, there's only one truth for all of life. And so he says, you can't separate, Brother Herbst, you can't separate off kind of religious life from practical life. And that's what I kind of want to try to do tonight. We'll see how far I get. All right, you guys okay? So if you'll forgive me, I'm just going to talk a little tonight and work through that. So we're facing some complicated issues. Like, for instance, you ready? Here we go. If you've not been paying attention, I know, Vince, you said you had been paying attention. In New York, they just passed a law. How many of you know what that law is? Yeah, you guys are plugged in. Where, you know, up to the time a baby is born, the day the baby is going to be born, you can inject poison into the baby, dismember it, and pull it out of the womb. They did. Governor Cuomo and the people, here's the problem with things like that. What we believe about anthropology, about humanity, human beings, the way that God created us, it affects everything. Because it's not just your view of humanity, it's your view of society. Right now, I know it's going to be a little thick, but we're going to get to someplace good. So let me give you a great little quote by Kevin Swanson, one of those books over there. I'm going to do a kind of a amalgamation of it, Brother Herbst. Culture is worldview externalized. And I think Brother Brzezinski did a tremendous job. I hate that I missed Sister Norman, but did a tremendous job saying that college is the culture concentrated. But remember, if the college campus that's aggressively anti-Christian, you ready? And most of the things that we encounter in terms of the culture. Now, remember, we're going to get to someplace good, but you have to go with me. Because what we have to figure out is, how do we fix the ills of society? How many of you know there are things in this world that are broken? And there are things in this world that are broken because people have left this wonderful guide and they've embraced other ideals, and that's the culture that's been created that lock people away from what God truly intends them to be. All right, so let me give you some examples. All right, so if culture is worldview externalized, and I believe it is, Jesus says it this way, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay, so you ready? What you think affects what's in your heart, your values, your love, and that spills out into your being. Or to say it like Paul says in Colossians 2, their ideas, we don't have time to deal with it tonight. I know I've already taught on this before. Excuse me. So let me just pretend that you guys all remember that, because you remember everything we say up here. It's terrible, I know. You guys all right? I know, it's like I can't remember every meal my mama ever fed me, but she fed me, man of God. I'm telling you, she fed me. Hallelujah. Women, men and women of God. So Colossians 2, right? Paul says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Everybody say ideas. And vain deceit after the traditions of men. And again, that's teachings and the rudiments of the world. And the Greek word is stoichion, and it's spirit systems. It means literally by ideas, people are taken captives. It's through the arena of ideas that people, Paul says, are bound. Why? Because bad thinking leads to bad behavior. You ready? If you hold ideas in your life that are not built upon the Bible, I promise you the ramifications are going to be huge individually and societally. Okay? All right, so let's see if we can dive in a little bit. So there's how many of you recognize what this is? Yeah, Ellis Island, right? Now, here you go. You ready? Here comes my controversial statements. America is not an ethnicity. America is a set of ideals based on a set of presuppositions. Okay? It's weird. America has a birthday. Why? Because that's when things like the Constitution and the Bill of Rights set the governance of who we are as a people. Okay, because again, now I'm gonna be radical tonight. I'm gonna tackle what I think are some of the biggest threats that are being said on campuses. Let me give it to you the way Emma Lazarus wrote this beautiful poem, and it's put on a plaque on this wonderful statue. It says, and part of it says this: give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to be free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And America decided to, now that new Colossus, as they say, they put it in Ellis, at Ellis Island as a harbor, because there used to be another statue, Brother Herps, that stood on two continents, and it was about conquering. And America said, we're going to let this, Brother Brzezinski, be the symbol of what America is. But America is not interested in conquest, America in the sense of like military domination. Okay, we're about a set of ideals about freedom. So when she says, give me your tired, everybody say, open borders. I know, I told you I was going to be crazy, right? But there's a qualification in here that Emma Lazarus recognizes, and that's why it's put here. Those that are, and I know you've heard me say this before, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. And so what that means is this, we believe that anyone can be a part of America if they're willing to adopt a certain set of ideals. But if you want to change America in terms of what made her beautiful, America the Beautiful, and you ready, you're going to strip away those ideas that gives freedom, that gives America the context in which she can operate, we're not interested in having you. It's like saying this. Do you want someone in your house, David? You got a wonderful wife. The Lord's going to bless you with like 20 kids. Let's just say you have a wife and some children or a child, whatever the Lord blesses you with. And there you are. You ready? You're not going to let anyone, just anyone in your house, are you? You know, if someone wants to come visit, someone wants to be cordial and kind. But when they start attacking your family, at some point you have to say, some people are not welcome. Why? Because it destroys liberty. It destroys life. It destroys the, the pursuit of happiness. Things that were guaranteed, life and liberty. Now, where did those ideals come from? Yeah. Okay. And that's right. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights. What was the framework? Where did the language for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights come from? Yeah. It came straight out of the Christian worldview. And I'll prove it to you. We are already, now here's where I get controversial. Again, we are already a multi-ethnic nation. The question is, are we going to be a multicultural nation? Now, if you've heard me before, you know I say like crazy things all the time. Like, I think multiculturalism is the biggest threat to America today. Now I know you're like, Brother Kilman, can you even say that? Not on college campuses. They'll cut my head off. All right. Now, what does that mean, though? Let's look at what that means. Again, I asked the question at IBC. I think I scared about half the students asking this question. So I'm going to scare y'all, too. Why not? All right, so how many of you have Indian heritage in your family? Like me, I have Blackfoot Indian. How many of you don't know? You don't know. Okay, I understand. But how many of you know you have some? Like we have Blackfoot Indian in our... Okay, now the question is, and again, how many of you know? How many of you know there are things like this? There are things like racism in America. How many know that? How many of you know that they're like when one American president said, yes, you can have the land, they gave them the land, and then they did the march, the Trail of Tears march, forced march, and took the land from them. By the way, just for accuracy's sake, a Democratic president. Who came up with Jim Crow laws? It's just wild when you start considering some of the past stuff. Okay, and again, so you ready? In that context of what happened to some of those people, you ready? They assimilated into America because America was seen, there's a great little phrase, u pluribus unum. What does that mean? From many, one. You ready? From all people. America was a nation of immigrants. You ready? And what united us was the ideals that individual rights were important. Why? Because of the biblical construct that framed our country. Now, I'll prove that's true in just a moment, because I don't want to jump too far ahead. So let's look at a little bit about multiculturalism. Are all cultures equal? Now, Rev, you look like you're pausing and thinking that through. Now, that's a problem, right? Now, why? Because have you been asked this at your college yet? I didn't think so. Because you won't, right? When you ask that question, it's a basic question about multiculturalism. So I'll prove it to you. Does anyone know what this is? Yeah. It's Auschwitz. All right, this is German culture. You ready? How many of you think Nazi Germany's culture is okay? All right, it's a culture of death. Okay, so you ready? I got another one. You ready? How about this one? This is the Ku Klux Klan, right? And again, are all cultures equal? No, of course not. Now, we know this in history. It's true. So when we say, are all cultures equal, what we're dealing with is this change in ideology, which happened around the 1960s. And in my opinion, the complicity of media and all sorts of things with it, as well as institutions. But the revolution of the 60s is where the civil rights movement was co-opted. Now, I don't know where you fall on the issue. I know Martin Luther King Jr. had some serious issues. I know he did. Cheated on his wife. Not a very good man in that sense. But I don't know anybody in here that would say that they would be against the basic tenets of the civil rights movement, would you? Okay, good. I didn't think so. Whew. Let me change that picture just in case. Okay. Right? So you ready? I believe everyone in this room would say, no, we believe that the civil rights issue is good. But the civil rights issue, that movement was co-opted by people. Now, I'm gonna be a little pointed. This is where I'm going to get a little controversial. From the Black Power movement, so-called women's liberation movement or the feminist movement. And from the homosexual movement. And we had one of our recent presidents that just quoted the Stonewall riots right in his second inaugural address and just slid that in along with Rosa Parks. Now I'm gonna be a little pointed, you ready? Is who you choose to sleep with on any given day a civil right? See, you're pausing, see? Because I'm telling you why you're pausing. Because we don't talk about these things in America anymore. Because if we do, we're going to get shot to pieces as conservatives. And you ready? And they definitely are not going to say this on college campuses. A civil right is something you have no control over, like the color of your skin. You cannot choose, normally, I mean, you can bleach or tan, whatever. But you cannot choose your ethnicity. And that's why there's a series. Okay, you ready? Oh, let me ask it another way. There is a myth that all people are equal in their views. Okay, are all people equal in their views? You have the right to your views, but are all views equal? No, of course not. What America had used to say was this: all people are equal in their inherent rights. Now, what does that mean? It means I don't get to step on your inherent rights. Where do those rights come from? Because all due respect, Brother Herbst, if New York can say a baby that's going to be born that day is not human and they get to define life, they can define the life of an 80-year-old. And Jane Claire, you're already in this in the nursing field, and you know, like, the issues with euthanasia. And when does someone, because if you see man as a machine who is only good in terms of his production, when do you become a burden on society and no longer profitable? And like an old part, you're just removed. You're no longer human because you're not productive. Now, I'm gonna mess with you a little bit, because if the government has the power to define life, it can define you out of it. And do we have to back up just a few slides to see what that looks like? That is exactly what happens when you get a wrong view of anthropology and you leave the moorings of this book that we call the Bible. Because the only thing that separates you in terms of your inherent rights is what our founder says. We have certain inalienable rights. How? Given to us from whom? By our Creator. And if that's not where rights lie, then you're in trouble. Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I told you I was going to be crazy. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's see if I can work through some slides. So for instance, there's some competing ideas in the culture at large and on college campuses for sure. So let me give you the humanism kind of a slide first of all. A secular humanist would say this: we're just a more highly evolved life form. You're the same as animals. The problem is that you just happen to be a highly evolved animal. And that means there's no grand universal purpose to humanity. That means, you ready, Brother Herbst, that there are no laws, there are no constants, and we have to, you ready? Most of history is just, Brother Brzezinski, people groups fighting over power. And history's mostly accidental, is what they would say. And so somebody has to get in charge of the flow of history, and that should be government. And we should put these people in charge with enough power, you ready, so that they can get in charge of the flow of history. Now, that's scary when you give people that much power. Okay, all right, we're going to talk about it because we're going to get concrete. And then thirdly, they would say, you differ only in degree from animals, not in kind. So, like, for instance, is all life equal? Ready? Is your rights the same as, like, should you be vegan? Quit eating, like, little baby animals. Right. Why? Now, what separates you from the animal race? It's like, we have a wonderful ex-IBC student. I love him very much. He's a good guy in many ways. But he was like talking about how he's a vegan. I'm like, you're an idiot. Not because he's like intellectually not bright. It's just like he's food not bright. I don't know what to call that. And he was like bragging, you know, he's, I'm a vegan, you know, it's a much healthier thing. Well, I kind of believe the Bible when it says that we can eat animals. I thought I'd get a bigger amen than that. Hallelujah. How many of you like, I mean, like nice, I mean, I went home and my wife was pulling out of the oven this crispy brown nice chicken with all the trimmings, and I'm like, come on, Jesus, yes, Lord. Now, all I'm saying is a lot of things come out of these types of views, and it basically boils down to your view of humanity. You ready? Things like that. So let me give you the contrast example, and then we'll show you what's at risk. Because when you say this is what humanity is, it determines a ton more. You tracking with me? Okay, good. So here's scripture. Scripture in contrast to secular humanism. We could talk about four or five views of that, secular humanism, but we'll resist the urge tonight. Theologically, Genesis 1 and 2 is the backdrop for understanding all of creation. It sets the narrative of the rest of the Bible. It gives us man's origin. It gives humanity's present condition. It gives us our need for salvation and the ultimate destiny of human beings. That's all laid out in the beginning of the Bible when you understand that you're special created, your special creation created in the image of God. Okay, now what does that look like? Here's the ramifications. Whether or not you believe that or you believe we're animals, this is what's at stake. There are practical issues at stake. There are political issues at stake. And there are personal issues at stake. All right, like what? Your view of abortion, like we've already mentioned. Euthanasia. Is it okay to remove useless people? Now I'm going to get a little pointed. Because again, the question I have for you in this group is, do you understand the value of human life as described by this wonderful book that we call the Bible? So when they say we're going to pass a universal healthcare system, which will say to a 60 or 70 year old, you're not worth investing a new heart in. Is that okay? That is directly tied to whether or not you believe in what Christians have called the sanctity of life. Okay, and it has huge ramifications about what that means. And human cloning, environmentalism, human rights, you know, all of these issues. Like, I just want to say so much here. So remember, we're having a Q&A at some point. So if you have questions, write them down. But there are so many crazy examples of this. Like in Africa, there was a certain type of spray that they know would stop mosquitoes, kill mosquitoes. And there was this disease that was being spread all over Africa. And even though they know it's going to stop the spread of disease, the environmentalists said, no, this spray is terrible. It hurts the environment. And then when they got through all the studies, you ready? It did not hurt the environment. But did the UN decide to change their stance? No, because it was a win for environmentalism. Because, you know, we're going to protect the environment and let millions of people die. Well, I agree with that, too. Don't tempt me down that road. Margaret Sanger, and I'm serious. You guys are, Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood is about killing off the black race. And if you don't understand that, you just look up quotes, original quotes by Margaret Sanger. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Are there undesirables in society that you can, you ready? If we don't have rights and government's in control, how do you make sure that government's powerful enough to protect you? You ready? And at the same time, not so powerful that it can manipulate and destroy you. That was the challenge of the founders of our country. Now I told you I was going to be crazy. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Okay, so personally, how does this affect us personally? How about in terms of self-confidence? Are you special creation? Do you have a purpose? You ready? Or self-image? How all of these things. Self-worth. Who are we and what is our purpose? All of this is tied to whether or not you're a cosmic accident or whether or not you're a special creation. All right, now I was just here to get hung up here tonight. Now, you do understand, like, I could spend, like, an hour on each of these slides. So here's my point. If you have questions for our Q&A, I think you should, press for some consistency. Because this is what we're going to say. So, for instance, God created human beings. Let us make man in our own image. And so throughout the Old Testament, the us, when God is speaking, here's the reason I would say he's speaking to angels. That because the angels are identified with creation. Humanity is compared to the angels in Psalm 8 and 5. Adam was unique from the animals because he had the opportunity to choose, right? One of the brilliant things about humanity is we think about not what is, but what ought to be. And that rational capacity is given to us as part of being created in the image of God. It separates you from the animal kingdom. Okay? And then fourthly, the angels had this same opportunity at virtue. And in Genesis 3:22, God speaks to the angels. And all four of these texts, Genesis 1:26, 3:22, 11:7, and Isaiah 6:8, are all of these us texts refer to God speaking to the angels in that sense. Now, let's see why. Because, see, the angels knew virtue. Because they had witnessed Satan fall, right? So they shared this commonality, this ability to choose right with Adam and Eve. They could experience virtue by doing right. Adam and Eve could have done that. Or learn a virtue by knowing guilt resulting from wrong. You know when you do wrong. See, that's the wild thing. Is people, one man said it this way, you can't cut yourself and not bleed. So people afflict themselves with sin and then they have to lie to their conscience. Why? Because you are created in the image of God and you do know right from wrong. That's why you have to sear your conscience with lies. Okay, and we're going to talk about that. So again, that's why scripture says, and the Lord God said, behold, speaking to the angels, the man has become as one of us to know what? Good and evil. And again, that's where we are. So that means covenant relationship with Adam and Eve and God consisted on sustaining obedience in that relationship by what? Human response. You must choose the right. Okay, and that's the same thing that's going on today. And even though Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, just like you and I are today, we can choose to obey or not obey, right? So that's why this is our group, right? All humanity, that means all of us. We got people in here. We got to get some new pictures, Brother Brzezinski. We got to put some people in, that's right. All humanity must make the same choice. That means you have to make the choice that Adam and Eve made in the garden. Will you do what's right? You ready? And that's the choice of every Adam since. I wish we had time to go to Romans, Brother Herbst, and talk about whether or not all we like, man, Paul is so good. Because he talks about it, Brother Freimer, like this, that every Adam, if you can allow me to interpret a little bit, every Adam since the original Adam has lost glory. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. What glory? Doing what's right, created in the image of God, and living out our purpose. Now, the beautiful thing is God invites us into, you ready, the glory of God by participating with his will again. Right? And we can do that as individuals, and we can do that as societies. I know I'm being radical, right? So a nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. Righteousness is what? Righteousness exalts a nation? Oh, do you not know this one? But what? Sin is a reproach to any people. And that means individual sins always spill out into societal sins, okay? It's like saying to young men that you can be irresponsible and get a girl pregnant and leave her alone. That type of irresponsibility builds a society, folks, and it directly affects the rest of the world around it to the tune of about $117 billion a year on wed pregnancy. Okay, well, I was just here. Okay, I told you I was going to be crazy tonight, right? Okay, let's see if I can do this. Help me, Jesus. All right, so now what does it look like? This is our likeness to God. All right, so some people say this. Well, first of all, we're just programmed machines. That's the behaviorist. Or, you know, the existentialist. Now, I won't resist you. I won't go into this all tonight. You ready? But we're just an absurdity. Maybe Camus right in his books or his writings, A Theater of the Absurd. Life is nothing, so just get the most of it you can. And it's mostly just an absurd joke. And you just try to eke out any kind of meaning that makes you happy. You ready? Or man is just a naked ape, like the human evolutionist. So all of these views denigrate the value of humanity because God has made us in his image with potential. with teleology. The word is purpose, with goals. God has given you things that you can accomplish. What the scripture calls glory. Okay, and I'll okay, you guys all right? All right, and let me see if I can get us there. Oh, help me, Jesus. All right, so what does it mean to be the imago Dei? What does it mean to be created in the image of God? All right, so let's see if I can buzz through this. So human worth and dignity. Now, we'll talk a little bit about that. The divine image in man, God's image in him, can be summarized this way, and I'll resist the urge to go into this in detail. Man has an intellect. And that means the capacity to reason. God gifted you with that. Again, it sets us apart from the animal world. Man has a conscience, the ability to recognize moral values. The way you know that's true is because they argue for what they do as being right. They don't say, hook your value systems. They try to justify. As Jay Budiszewski would say, justification is the price or the homage that sin must pay to true guilty knowledge. They know they're wrong. That's why they have to justify it. It's not just an argument of might makes right. And then thirdly, man has a society, a capacity for covenant, to be loved and be loved in the personal relationships. That means your relationship to God, your relationship to others, and the relationship to yourself must be right. And when you get humanity wrong and you embrace sin, you ready? Because you disconnect this way, you disconnect this way. And that turns into actual sins. That turns into societal sins. You ready? Like objectification and manipulation and you know, taking advantage of people, step on whoever it takes, Brother David, to get ahead, right? Because I can manipulate you financially if it's to my good. I can, you guys all right? I can sell drugs to people that I should be loving. I was just here to go down those roads too much. And again, because it fractures, it breaks the relationship this way. Why? Because we have no frame of reference for which to operate this way. And then worse, you ready? I'm disconnected from myself. Because those people are saturated with guilt and they don't taste the fruit of true intimacy that God has built them for in terms of relationship. You ready? So you can sleep around as much as you want to, but you will erode your capacity to have intimacy. You ready? It's damaging yourself. Sin damages people. You ready? Their capacity to have a true relationship is ruined. The Bible says it this way: if you live by the sword, you will. If you're a violent person, you ready? That violence damages you. Okay, and it will ultimately be reciprocated. Okay, I'll prove it to you. You don't take care of your children. You be mean-spirited and kind of selfish and narcissistic, and you won't have anybody around you when you're old to help take care of you. You have hurt yourself. Why? Because when you don't get this personal thing right, it messes up this. Okay, all right. Again, this goes to humanity. What's the purpose of human beings? Part of that is a relationship. Man has dominion or the power to exercise lordship over creation. I just have to quit. You know, man has a soul. That's the capacity to worship and live in communion. And all of these things give man the unique thing that we call the capacity for worship. All of these coalesce in terms of our cooperating with the will of God and with the purpose of God in such a way that we have the ability to glorify God in our very living. And you rob people of that dignity and that purpose and that sense of accomplishment when you tell them they're less than what God intended and they can embrace sin and divorce themselves from their true purpose. You see how powerful it is to be a part of the faith, of the Christian family? Because at the end of the day, you can hand man meaning. And it will bless society. How do you know? It built the West. All due respect, multiculturalism is not a strength. Like we say this. Now, here's where I get crazy. You ready? Invest in everything? Should we believe everything, right? So diversity is the new national goal. Despite the fact that unity, e pluris E Pluribus Unum, right? It's been the strength of our nation, and by the way, any nation that you can find. It's unity, not diversity. Okay, good. Okay, Brother Kelman, what do you mean? Should we like be against other cultures? Some things in other cultures, yes. How many of you like sushi? I'm very happy that it's here. I'm glad it came over from Japan. My son wants to take me over to Okinawa and to the best sushi in the world. I want to go, but it's going to have to be on his ticket. So he hasn't got a job yet. Pray for him, you know. So what does that mean, right? I'm not saying that there aren't beautiful things in some cultures. I, again, like we've already looked at it, like the Twin Towers, right? There's some cultures that have basic tenets that will that are intent on destruction. It's not, you ready, what Emma Lazarus says, those longing to be free, David, they want to impose something on your individual rights. And so again, we can't, I'll give you another example. People know innately when sin is wrong. And you can try to convince them that views that are outside of the scripture are right, but they know. I'll prove it to you. Like in Nazi Germany, this is what they said, guys like Heidegger and all sorts of other philosophers, because they were evolutionists. Now hear that. They were evolutionists. You cannot have rights unless you're a special created being. Now, we could talk about how to define that. But again, that's why I really like Christopher Hitchens, because not because he's of his atheism, but because of his honesty with his atheism. And he says, I'm not sure we have inalienable rights. At least he's consistent. That's terrible. But at least he's consistent. But here's the problem. Because you're created in the image of God, man knows, humanity knows there is such thing as right and wrong. I'll prove it to you. So in the Nazi war camps, they had the philosophy that we're not really murdering people because the Jews are animals, not human. Now, how do you know that doesn't work? Because the Nazi psychiatrist said that the death camp soldiers suffered more than the war soldiers in Germany for Nazis, the Nazis. You ready? The people that were out there, Brother Freimeyer, shooting each other, trying to, you know, whatever you believe about Germany's nationalism, and Hitler was a terrible man. But again, you ready? They had less problems shooting people on the battlefield than killing Jews that they've intellectually argued and put all over their culture. You ready? They're just animals. And here's the problem. The Nazi war camp soldiers had dreams and nightmares where their victims would stand up and accuse them. And so all of these so-called excuses didn't appease their conscience. Why? Because they are created in the image of God. And when you get anthropology wrong, you can lie all you want to, but it's not livable. It doesn't play out psychologically. It doesn't play out sociologically. You ready? It destroys things. And that's why, okay, so my question is this. Can we, as a people, can you, as young adults, have the capacity to deal with cultural sin? Not if you're a multiculturalist. All right, so there it is, the fall of humanity. And again, the fall of humanity was something like this. It's like one man said, my problem is not that the world makes sense, it's that it almost makes sense. I love that quote. I've said it in here many times because it describes existence. Humanity has fallen. The world is broken. But you ready? Because we know the world is broken. Do you see that inside of you, that witness from the image of God, that this is not how it should be? That means that you're, Brother Brown, that you're built for something else. You're built for something called salvation. The capacity to relate to people in true ways and right ways. And we're aghast at what people want to do to babies in America. Why? Because we have knowledge that's true from being created in the image of God as human beings. I'll try to go slow. I wasn't going to try to get too preachy. Are you guys okay? So again, what the predicament of the fall leaves man in what I think is the right word for the broken world, Brother Herb says, estrangement. We're estranged from God, and because we're estranged from God, we're estranged from other people, and you ready? And we're even estranged from ourselves. And that's the reality, which leads to actual sins. It allows men to treat women as objects. The sexual exploitation that comes with that. You ready? And it's committed by individuals and spills out. We could give a list of sins, right? See, that divorcement from God and what we're called to be leads to actual sins. All of the sins that Paul lists in Romans chapter 1. Okay, let me give you a couple quotes then. I'm going to try to wrap up. Thomas Jefferson said this. He was writing a letter to a guy who invited him to something that was happening in the government. It was just a short time before Jefferson died. Now, notice what he says. The mass of mankind has not been born with saddles on their backs. What does that mean? Now, I may have quoted this in here before, but it's worth listening to when you see someone, even like arguably not the best founding father of the 250-some, Brother Herbst. But you ready? What does he mean when he says the mass of mankind has not been born with saddles on their backs, nor a favored few booted and spurred, ready to ride them legitimately by the grace of God? What does that mean? David, he's saying some people weren't made to be animals for us to use. It's an argument against slavery. And he's making the argument based on the fact that we're created. Nobody's created with the saddle. Look, you can't stand against slavery. You can't stand against Nazi Germany. If you give all of these things up, like one author in The Audacity of Hope, he was a congressman at the time. He became our president. President Obama said this, that inherent in the Constitution is that there are no absolutes. Then, Mr. President, where do you stand? Because Jefferson didn't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. No one should rule another, Abraham Lincoln says. David, no man should rule another man without consent. Why? Because you're created in the image of God, just like I'm created in the image of God, and I don't get to rule over you somehow by the grace of God because I'm a king. The only way you should rule over someone else is by consent. Why? Because you have as much value as I have. That baby in the womb has as much value as I have. That 80-year-old that needs a heart transplant has as much value as I have. Why? Because we're all created in the image of God. And you ready? All a government can do is recognize rights, not give them. Because if, Brother Vince, if the government gives us our rights, the government can take them away. And what we said in our country is no, humanity is created in the image of God, and we have you see how concrete this gets? All of the issues in life. That's why Schaefer's right. Truth with a capital T that informs all of life. And if you get anthropology wrong, society's wrong, and it spills into the chaos that we have. So let me see if I can do this really quickly. So here's the two choices. You got number one, what the Bible says, man is a free soul. Or number two, man is just a higher evolved human being. If man is a free soul, what does that mean in terms of history? That history is going someplace. That history is about our interaction with each other in a way that, you ready, should glorify God. And I should love my neighbor. You ready? But if we're just a highly evolved people, then we can perfect society if we just assemble more power and in terms of the people that lead it. But again, the problem with that is all you have to do is take a backward glance through history. And when you put power in the hands of the few, what do? They trample the rights of the individual. And that's led to millions and millions of death under socialism and communism. All right, so let's see. What are you saying, Brother Kilman? Let's see if I can wrap it up. Let me just skip to the chase, if we will. I just have to quit. My Lord, how did I think I could get through all this? Oh, my Lord, yeah. Are you guys got time for two slides? Let me do that, and then I'll wrap up. Because I think you got it. I skipped number one. Hallelujah. All right, so number two. People believe today in America that nothing is true. And then they believe somehow that freedom, or what they define as freedom, you ready, that what we have is protected by the fact that there are no truths. Okay, now, what is that? You ready? They would say, there's nothing to restrain us from doing whatever we want. How did that work for Hitler? Ready? What do you do when you're so-called exercising of free rights bumps into the life of another person? Don't see, this is what the Bible says. Don't talk about rights. Talk about responsibilities. Talk about the destiny of a human being lived to glorify God in such a way, you ready, that men would see your what? Good works. And that responsibility that you embrace, you ready, then what will they do? They will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And I'm telling you, one will build one type of society and the other will build another. And again, that's a positive. You can do what you want, but it's also a negative because you have no grounds on which to critique behavior anymore. So they would say, we reject nature and nature's God. That's what they're saying. At the end of the day, you just get yourself in the position where you can't judge right and wrong. All right, so human beings, this is what our founder said. Human beings have a nature. This nature is grounded in our capacity as thinking, reasoning, speaking being, as well as having the capacity for choice. Now, here's where we go. You ready? Implicit in its structure is the very idea of ordered liberty was a rejection of absolute truth. Now, you have to choose one of these two statements. Why? Because our political nature, our ability, what we would say, Brother David, to live in covenant with other people. So the American colonists, in terms of their war with England, justified their rebellion against England on two things, the laws of nature and nature's God. There comes a time when every man, every thinking person, every free person has to resist tyranny. Why? Because there are some fundamentals that are true from God. So when and Vince, you could probably do better than me on this. When Lincoln was debating Douglas, the abhorrent institution of slavery. This is what Lincoln said: it's against natural justice. Lincoln could now hear me today. Lincoln could not make that argument today because they reject the term nature. They've lost the ability to stand on any ground. When Martin Luther King Jr. in the civil rights movement, who did they quote to destroy the Jim Crow laws? Who did they quote? Thomas Aquinas and natural law theory. I think that's fascinating. You could not get away with that today as a social justice warrior. Because that's actually the opposite of what's, or when they're, well, you get the point. Hallelujah. So our political nature is in that, to live under laws. But what kind of laws should we live by? And you ready? At the end of the day, laws should help us live what we would call excellent lives, true lives, lives of purpose, the ability of the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness, right? Under the that's the American ideal. So government, too, ought to help us do that. That's government's job, to help me pursue life, liberty, and happiness. That's their job, not to tell me anything else. Why? Because I have rights in and of myself created in the image of God. So when someone that was running for the presidency just a term ago says, and when she says at the University of Texas, the government should be about redefining humanity. Government has changed its role. You ready? And directly out of that is the worldview as what are we as human beings. And so we're in a quagmire today. So without true law in creation, there's no place to stand. You can't, like the Nuremberg trials in Germany, where they're just hammering Germany for killing millions of people. Brother Herbst, what did they argue? Natural law. Human rights based on being created in the image of God. Brother Kelvin, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard you teach. I know. Thank you. What do we mean when we said a generation ago, American exceptionalism? You will not hear that in the culture or on campuses anymore. But what we mean when we used to say, and what I mean when I say, David, American exceptionalism, is that if you look around the world right now, and if you look backwards in history, America is a unique experiment in all of known human history. How do we protect the rights of individuals? And this is what conservatism in America, now I'm not talking about Republicans and Democrats, I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about conservatism. Conservatism says this, that God created us and we have human rights because of that. And government should be about protecting that. If not, government has a very, very different job. Now, all that said, now that's what's being touted on college campuses today. And for young, and here's the, you hit it. You stole my punchline for me. That's good. The punchline is this, Brother Brzezinski, that in the classroom, people are giving them intellectual reasons to embrace sin. But what they don't know is they're giving up fundamental rights. God help us as a nation. But more than that, God help us as a church to understand our role in helping people find their true potential and human dignity. Human dignity is aligning yourself with the purposes of God. And through the word of the Lord and through the power of the Holy Ghost, I promise you, you're the best answer on that college campus because you can help people reach what they're longing for. Why? Because they're created for it. All right, now how many know that's different than everything in the culture? That's why you're salt and you're light.